podcast.
Hello, and welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
Oh, gosh.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
What is this voice?
This is how I talk. This is normal. What?
Wait. Oh, this is not my husband. This is a puppet version of my husband.
Oh, sorry, hello.
Let me just get this out of here. I'm putting this into the closet.
Oh, Beth, sorry I'm late for the podcast recording. What did I miss?
It was weird. At first, it was like you were doing a really hokey character voice bit that made no sense in the context of this podcast that we normally do.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
Yeah. Thank God it wasn't you. Yeah. It was a puppet version of you that someone...
Wait. So it was a puppet. So it was you then... With a puppet of me, and you gave that weird voice to me?
You caught me. I started recording early, and I tried something out, and it didn't work, and I want to apologize to the fans.
And you didn't even, you were so convincing that you forgot it was you doing both voices.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're right. I didn't think it through. Suddenly, in the midst of it, it felt so real.
Oh, boy.
And I kind of lost myself in the character in the moment.
Beth, I gotta be honest. I'm worried about you. That's insane. Anyway.
But I think, honestly, my version of your voice was so believably a man's voice that I do want to get credit for that.
Well, I wasn't here, so you can give yourself credit, and I support that choice.
But I think if I am able to work on it a little bit, I can get it much closer from there.
Do you want to make it the podcast just voices now? Because I'd be into that.
Anyway, guys, thanks for coming. Welcome to We Knows Parenting. Sorry we tried something and it didn't work too well, but we are here to talk about...
We didn't try anything. Beth. That was all Beth.
Okay, you're right.
But we're parents. We're married. We've got kids. Bryn and Maven. They're 2 and 4. That's what this podcast is about.
That's what this podcast is about. So we had a week, most notably. We
sure
went
did.
Out of town.
Oh, boy, did we have a vacation.
Oh, boy, did we have a vacation.
We sure did. Another pool party vacation.
A pool party vacation. And, yeah, it was good.
It was good. Let's just say the one disappointment.
The glaring hole in the weekend.
Is that pool never got hot enough.
Yeah, that was a big one. Also, a smaller one is that you left for an audition with another parent. You both got an audition for the same commercial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
we abandoned you for 4 hours.
So, yeah. So we had a few extra hours of solo parenting, which was like not a very calming kickoff to a vacation.
It's true.
Because vacations with kids... Let's be honest, all the parents out there know vacation with kids is not a vacation. It's just like you're in a new location watching kids.
Well, I will say that vacation, every time we take a vacation, it's more like a vacation than the last one.
Yeah, but if your spouse had left you for a day on this vacation, you would be like, man, that was not quite the vacation I pictured.
Sure, but hopefully I just think back to the last time and I'd be like, well... At least they're probably not going to murder themselves on stairs like they would any other vacation we'd been on. And we were with other friends.
No, they were just going to murder themselves in an indoor swimming pool that they could very easily get to that wasn't locked.
That's true. We did have to make sure they didn't drown.
Yeah, so that's like, you know, pretty 24/7 parenting focus.
We were there with some of our best friends,
mm-hmm.
Nick and Julia. Nick, who's been on the podcast. And they have a one-year-old. Who Bryn and Maven now adore. And it's I love hanging out with them because it's just a great reminder of like, oh gosh, we're past this.
It's really nice to see our kids hang out with another kid that they recognize and know
mm-hmm.
because they have so few friends.
they have friends.
But I mean, like, it's getting to the point where, you know, for a while, Maven was just sort of coexisting with other kids and sort of like ignoring them or being jealous of them in some way.
Yeah.
And now she has gotten to a point where she's actually interacting. So now it's like we have two kids who are like making friends and remembering people.
Socializing, learning some empathy and jealousy. They played well together.
Yeah.
I gotta say it was really fun. Could I?
Are you going to mention the other people who went on the trip with? Because I feel like they're going to feel left out now.
Joe and Kelly don't care.
Okay.
But we love them.
But they were there.
And they organized the trip. Kelly, yeah. Kelly did it.
Kelly.
Thanks, Joe and Kelly.
Thanks, guys.
Oh boy, your favorite vacation buddies. It was a really nice, easy trip because it was 2 hours away. It was like perfect distance with kids.
That was a good distance.
And also it was a good distance if you do have to drive back for an audition. It's not the whole day.
Yeah. That is really just the right amount of driving, I think, for having two kids. Because our kids kind of like either slept or relaxed. And then we're never really bored in the car.
Yeah. Or if you're Nick and Julia's one-year-old, you throw up from car sickness a lot.
Poor thing. That was the other thing about this trip. I'm not going to name names, but there was some illness going on too. And
it was Nick. Nick got the flu.
I will say it wasn't a bad vacation, but there was a lot of factors that just made it a slightly more exhausting vacation, I think, overall for people. Like definitely one of the vacations where you're like, we're all parents. We're all a little tired.
Yeah.
We're all going to try to catch up on some sleep this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Three nights in a row, I fell asleep in a circle of friends. I was like, all right, the kids are asleep. I'm ready to hang out with it. I'm falling asleep on this couch. And I felt 100 years old. But I tell you what, I loved it.
I just couldn't keep my eyes open. It was like...
catching up. So can I tell you what Maven did tonight? I cooked a real dinner tonight, you know, a simple one, and I was really excited to putting it all together. You bought this great like simple dinners cookbook that I've really been enjoying, and I put a pan in the oven, and I was like, oh, time to get it out. I'd pull it out, and then I immediately grabbed the handle of a 450 degree pan, and I burnt my fingers, and I yelped like a little baby. And Maven was in the room, and she was scared and then concerned, and then she turned into straight-up mommy. And then she goes, you hurt your finger? You need to make better? And so I put, like, a cold water towel on it, and she goes, I help you. And she grabbed my finger, and then she just held it. And she goes, does it feel better? And I was like, not yet. And she goes, I'll hold it. And then she made me stand there with her for probably 2 full minutes. And then she tried shaking my finger, and that hurt, and I said, ow. And she goes, I make it bad. I won't shake.
She's at that age where kids just get really fascinated with injury. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, they like point at your zits, and they're like, does that hurt? You know, like they want to like point out every little thing wrong with anyone's body.
My kids,
you have to like explain how it feels.
They like to point at my moles and say, ouchie.
Yeah.
Does it hurt? Like, no, it's a mole. So I just put them to bed, and Bryn has been, quote unquote, reading. Some real reading, but a lot of books he just has memorized, which I think is actually a very good way to learn to read, because he'll go word by word, and he'll sort of have it memorized, but not quite, so I'll have to go into each word. And Maven has gotten jealous of this. So she decided she wanted to read the book, and we had to take turns doing pages. And good God, she knew a lot of the words. She's clearly not reading. She's memorizing.
She's really funny doing stuff like that lately where she just wants to call it out, and she kind of knows she's wrong, and she just like says things as she's like, because in the animal book, when she's like, mud puppy, or she'll just like say a made up name.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's very mud puppy. Silly.
Mud puppy is a real one.
She's still been doing a lot of that thing where she'll just make up a word, and she'll be like, no, it's an oculator. And you're like, what? She's like, it's oculator. It's oculator.
That's 100% Bryn, where he says something wrong, and you're like, it's actually this. And he's like, I'm going to double down on the first thing I said, because that makes me seem smart and confident.
Yeah.
I wonder
but
where he learned that.
Her words are like the most nonsense. Like, she just pulls them out of thin air.
And she'll be like, I want a cryum. Like
it's
a crayon? She's like, no, a crayon. Crayon? No, a crayon. A crying. And then she knows she's not saying anything, and she'll just correct me no matter how I repeat her.
She's been doing this thing lately. I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but she just whispers things to us in the most like sweet, creepy way. Just constantly, every answer she tells us, she's like, no,
yes.
I want the peanut butter.
I want it now.
But she did this when we were on vacation this weekend. She walked into our friend's bedroom and she found their daughter's doll. It was like a ballerina doll or something. And I walked in and found her holding it. And she goes, I need this. She just like whispered it really quietly. Like she was just like, don't try to take this from me.
I know what you're thinking.
I need this.
Don't you dare.
So much of my day is just walking in on my kids as they're about to do something bad. And they look at me and they're like, I'm just going to do this, okay? I'm just going to do this thing I know I'm not supposed to do. And you've told me a million times. Can we just move on?
Well, again, for those of you who didn't listen to episode one of this podcast, that's the title of this podcast is We Knows. That's Bryn when he was really little. You're like doing something bad, right? And be like, Bryn, what are you doing? He just go, We Knows. And that's how, like, just don't worry about it. We're going to do it. Do I misremember the meaning of this every time I explain it?
I would say, why are you doing that, Bryn? Or like, why are you, you know, wiping food on the wall? And he'd be just be like, We Knows.
We Knows.
He was right. Cause like we knew he was just doing it cause he felt like it. We knew.
We Knows you're not going to do anything about this, like, mommy.
We Knows.
We Knows. Oh gosh. That was vacation. That was the big thing. That was it.
That was the big thing. And what else?
Daycare called to yell at us about something that we may or may not have done.
What?
Then they called to say that somebody came to pick up Bryn from the bus stop who was not on the list of pre-approved people.
Oh, you mean preschool?
What did I say?
You said daycare called.
You're right.
You should strike all of this from the record.
Oh, God.
They weren't calling to yell at us. They were just like, hey, nothing's wrong. We just wanted to ask, like, they were basically asking if they should send home a form for us to add additional names of who can pick Bryn up because someone had picked him up from the bus stop who works for daycare that they didn't have in their system or something.
And yet they let Bryn go with this stranger who wasn't on the list.
Yeah, yet they called us like a day later.
They're like, quick question. Yesterday we gave your son to a strange woman. Could you put her on the list, whomever she is?
Well, this is like an ongoing pattern, I think, in our lives where someone sort of like fucks up and then they calmly tell us about it, but in our confusion, we think we're in trouble.
That's
and so we're
exactly
like,
right.
We're sorry. Should we pay you more? Like, we're like, what do you need?
Well, then I texted daycare today because I thought this happened today and apparently happened yesterday. So I texted the main woman at daycare and I was like, hey, can you give me the names of the new people that work there? Pre-K called to say this somebody today. And she goes, I picked them up today. What? What are they talking about?
Yeah,
and she clearly thinks I'm mad. And I was like, oh, no, it's fine.
I understand. I mean, sometimes their reactions are a little too alarmed, but I understand why they're on the defensive because
I'm sure the parents are mad at them all the time.
From having had jobs like that, I just know like there's like the fear of that person who's like going to be like over the top, you know,
whoever complains the loudest,
yeah,
gets what they want, and I resent that. Hey, did you guys see our new artwork? Did you see, Beth, that all of our new artwork is up on the internet?
I didn't see that.
Oh yeah, we look so beautiful and overwhelmed and also lighthearted and fun.
You mean like a perfect portrayal of our spirit and joy?
It's exactly right. Have you seen our pictures, you guys? Do you like it?
if you haven't seen it, which sounds impossible because it's probably in front of you right this
second. Yeah, you clicked on it. What are you talking about?
Go into iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe while you're thinking about looking at it.
Ooh, early plug for rate, review in the podcast.
You know what? This week, I'm just going to put it out there and say it because I'm tired of dancing around. I would like you to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.
Whoa, too direct. Too direct. While we're at it, we're doing a live show April 23rd.
I just want to say, I don't think it's too much to ask if you're getting weekly free content, if you're tuning in for a free podcast.
Okay, don't badger the listener. We're just happy that they're here.
Just take a few seconds out of your day if you're enjoying this.
Beth's being because so aggressive.
As we say, the complainers get a lot of
Encourage the complainers. They're going to rate, review.
If we're going to defeat the complainers, guys, you got to go out there and be positive forces in the world and tell people what you like.
The other thing is that we're going to plug, because it's a long way off, but we're going to start plugging it, is we're doing a live show in Brooklyn, New York on Tuesday, April 23rd. Chuck Bryant from Stuff You Should Know and Movie Crush is going
to
be there.
Yes, it's at Littlefield, so you can go to their website to check out tickets. Yeah.
And Abby Crutchfield, Ophira Eisenberg, it's going to be great. We're going to talk about a ton as the weeks get closer, but there's a quick early pitch. Oh, yeah, baby! And now it's time for Did You Knows? This is where we share some stuff we learned about parenting on the internet.
Yeah. So today we're talking about an article from the Washington Post. It's called The Parent Trap. And it says the greater a country's income inequality, the likelier parents are to push their kids to work hard. So that sounds like fairly intuitive, I think, if you have limited resources in a country or people are struggling to make ends meet, they're going to push their kids to work harder too.
Yeah, here's some tidbits from this article I'm going to read to you. So we found in our research that varying parenting styles among nations are rooted primarily in economics, specifically economic inequality. The common denominator in countries where intense achievement-oriented parenting abounds is a large gap between the rich and the poor. Conversely, where inequality is low and governments provide safety nets, a more relaxed, permissive parenting style holds sway. That suggests that to reduce the epidemic of hyper-competitive and over-involved parenting in the United States, simply exhorting people to be more laid-back won't work. The only solution is to attack the problem at the root by combating inequality.
Yeah, I think that is all just really relevant information to the state of our country right now, where I think people are just being run ragged because so much money is held in the hands of so few wealthy people. And we don't, when you look to other countries, you see we don't have to live like this, where everyone is just frantically trying to achieve as much as possible, you know, at every second. I thought there's a really interesting part in the article where it says Sweden and Germany offer popular forest kindergartens where children stay outdoors in nearly all weather, playing and exploring with minimal adult guidance. This was after they talked about, kids in other countries being able to walk down the street at an early age and not being, you know, helicopter parented all the time, which... What I like is the article makes that point about how you can't just criticize people for being helicopter parents. You have to erase all of the anxieties that our society forces into people on a regular, like an ongoing basis all day.
Yeah. You really can't just be like, just relax.
But I think the forest kindergartens sounds so amazingly relaxing and so age appropriate, such a natural way to introduce kids to the world around them.
Yeah. They said that they go to kindergarten in the forest all year round outside, even when it's snowing.
And these are like nice things we could have, where we could all have nice lives.
You could have your child go to school in the snow.
I mean, like, you could have your kid be like surrounded by nice people in an environment where he's learning about the world around him, like, and not have him be like tested constantly.
Well, I mean, it's reading this article, there's some things where I'm like, yeah, that would be, you know, because they say in Switzerland, in this town, these kids all walk to school by themselves in kindergarten. I did that. I grew up walking to school by myself from as early as I can remember. And we walked home for lunch.
Sure, but you didn't have a forest kindergarten.
I did cut through the Peterson's backyard. Whoa. And they basically had a forest in the backyard.
Okay, well, now you're blowing my mind.
Yeah.
But I do think different schools do kind of do stuff like this to varying degrees, and people do have childhoods where they get outside. It's just that it's becoming rarer and rarer in our society, like, because there is this trend towards, you know, fighting over limited resources.
I thought it was really interesting in this article they talked about sort of parents picked the from a list of values what they figure are the most important ones. And the more income inequality in a country, the far more likely parents would pick hard work as a value. Like in China, where income inequality is bigger than the United States, like 90% of parents picked hard work as one of the most important values.
Well,
whereas
really
in like Sweden,
because
almost nobody picks hard work.
Yeah, you know, but if you have a scarcity mentality or mindset, like, if you're in those circumstances, that is sort of your rational response almost to the world around you. If that's how you grew up, you were conditioned to be like focused on that. And so it makes perfect sense that people are thinking that way. It's just that sometimes that ends up being counterintuitive, because if you like are constantly telling kids to pursue the most pragmatic thing, then that's not necessarily the thing that makes them happy or the thing that they're good at or the thing they'll succeed at. And then you're creating kids with, you know, like mental health issues because they're constantly trying to do things that aren't right for them. You know, it's just like,
yeah, because I hear the sort of the less income inequality countries where the parents who are like, why would I choose work hard? And part of my brain is like, you lazy parents. That's like, oh, work hard's not an option? Like, what are you going to do, loaf around all day? And I'm like, oh, I conditioned to value hard work. I mean, there's obviously a good side of that and a bad side of that. The good side of that is like, oh, your life shouldn't be about hard work. Your life should be about enjoying the people around you and doing enough. But it's not, you know, it's hard work to achieve what? Is it hard work for hard work's sake? Because that's where things start to get a little insane, where exactly what you're talking about, which is, am I missing my life in the name of, you know,
well, I
hard
mean,
work?
I think in an ideal world, like, we all hope for our kids to be slightly better off than we were, right? And then
I only want them slightly better off.
At least slightly. I just think, like, that's evolution. Like, that's the natural pattern. But then if we create certain systems in society that hold us back from doing that, because it's like, we have technology, we have resources, but our society sticks its like feet in the mud on certain issues and just like refuses to evolve to a better way. It's just,
well, there's something really interesting. I don't want this to get political, but but I was I'm nervous to generalize this. But there is this sense, and these are more sort of like, you know, we live in a very liberal bubble, admittedly, in New York City. And so this was more about the sort of the lower income conservative mindset. And from a liberal point of view, that like, well, why wouldn't you support? No,
it's not
listen.
Just a lower income mindset.
No. But this article I was reading, specifically this, where it's like, why would you support policies that work against your interests? Like, you know, government support will help these lower like income, rural, usually conservative people. Why would they vote for people that wouldn't create those policies? And there was something to this mindset of like, well, we all worked hard and like we have a tough life and we work hard to get what we want. And like, that's a value that becomes part of your identity,
well,
which is like, it shouldn't be easy. We're working hard and we deserve what we have. And that sort of like, quote unquote, free ride is against our moral compass.
But the scarcity mindset like keeps people of all income levels locked into this idea that there's a limited amount of things for all of us. And so it's that we all need to hoard as much as we can of all these things. And the truth is that we could collectively choose to manifest more resources on certain things. You know, it's just this like inability to maybe like help out one another is what holds us all back as a whole. Because like what we do is when we have this income inequality, like it's not just that, you know, there are poorer people and richer people, but then the richer people don't want to live near the poor people where there's more crime because people have to commit crime to sustain a living and like survive. And then it just, it has a ripple effect on all of us if we don't resolve it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we solved all the problems with that deep analysis of income inequality.
We should be better.
Well, I think what I'm, you know, I'm not going to pretend to have the knowledge or education to dig deeper into like solving the larger ills of our country. But I do think what is most interesting about this is self-reflection of like, oh yeah, what are my values? Because well, I realized that like the idea of hard work is a value that I haven't thought about really directly, but it is something I subscribe to as something when I see myself as I do a lot of work and I work hard and I'm proud of that. And it's not something that I ever thought of as a result of my environment, you know?
Yeah. This next segment is called Would You Knows. This is where we take some parenting hypotheticals from our listeners.
Beth, you're going to love this.
I hope so.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The subject line is creepy hypothetical.
Ooh.
This comes from Nikki. Hi, Peter and Beth.
Why do you think my name's Beth?
Beth? I was just doing a New Zealand accent. Hi, Peter and Beth. No, I just don't know how to read. Hi, Peter and Beth. I'm Nikki. First, just want to say I love your podcast. I'm a new first-time mom of an adorable 8-month-old boy. Too young for me to be able to relate to most of your topics right now, but I'm excited for when he's a little older. It sure sounds like an adventure. Anywho, I have a fun and creepy hypothetical for yous. Bonus points if you ever throw an extra S on anything in these emails. What if one evening, you can hear Maven chattering slash seemingly carrying on a conversation in her sleep, in their room when you thought they were asleep. But you didn't hear Bryn, so you quietly peek into the bedroom to see her standing up on her bed, carrying on a conversation with someone who's not there, just into the air. When asking her who she's talking to, she tells you that it's either dead relative's name here, she says that it's dead relative's name here. Obviously very skeptical. Well, there's where you're wrong, Nikki. If it's me, I'm obviously very skeptical. If it's Beth, I think you're already on board. obviously very skeptical, but a little freaked out. You ask her more questions and she relays infos that there's no way she could know without having talked to that relative. It's a relative that she never got a chance to meet. Next morning, you ask Bryn if he's ever seen someone in the room, and before he very nonchalantly says, yeah, just relative name. He, she thinks, likes to tell me funny things and stories. What would yous do? Both kids can perfectly describe the relatives, and when you show them photos, they confirm it's them. And just a thought of another a different one. Okay. Go ahead.
It's so funny that this person thought this was a creepy hypothetical for me because this entire situation is so plausible and up my alley and plausible. Something I would be so calm and excited about.
Because it would justify a lot of things for you.
Justify. Wow. Okay.
Sorry, that was judgmental and I didn't mean it to be.
It would continue to affirm my reality.
That's what I mean.
So I don't think I've gotten super into it on the podcast, but people who know me well know that I truly believe in psychic mediums. And I think that there people do see and hear things all the time. Are you like sighing over there? What nope. is this weird noise you're making? Am I allowed to talk on the podcast?
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Okay. What are you sipping?
Yeah, I just got a big cocktail and I'm sipping it.
Okay. Can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, so I fully believe in this scenario. I have a medium I've seen in New York City, who I love. Her name's Gemma Deller. I don't trust all psychic mediums, but she has relayed things to me that I believe beyond a doubt are messages from my dead brother. And anyway, that's my point. And I do believe that kids tend to have these abilities more often than adults. I'm also a very avid listener of the Psychic Teachers podcast, for those of you out there who are into this.
Well, this just turned into a whole series of psychic plugs.
I'm sorry. I have to sort of contextualize my beliefs, I guess. And I just, I have listened and read and experienced many things over the years that this is my conclusion on the world. So if my child were to say things that were like true to things my brother would say or do, I would find that completely plausible, because I do believe that some people have these abilities.
We've talked about this in the podcast before, and I don't, as respectfully as I'm able, which sometimes I'm not able because I'm the selfish human, do not subscribe to any of this. But so I think this hypothetical is more appropriately directed at me. Right?
Yeah, okay.
So listen, and we've been over this, which is like, I have learned to, in my relationship to you, come to understand that this matters to you and it is helpful to you, and me trying to like discredit it or is missing the point.
It truly feels truthful to my life that this is like a core part of my belief system and how I interact with the world on a daily basis. And it's a big part of what brings me joy through my day. Is
right.
Like, it is maybe the thing that keeps me going. So in the past, when I brought this up to you and you've constantly shut it down and sort of dismissed it, it feels pretty much like you were not letting me live a side of myself that was very like core and necessary to my being. And it's the same thing as like being a creative and needing to do that. Like if I was like holding you back from your creative thing that like fulfills you, then that's like not something you would want to be around. You'd be like, I'm not going to be with someone, you know? So that's why I get upset when, it's not that I think we can't disagree, but I do think when people are going, like, if you're going to like constantly dismiss someone's reality to them, that like that person's probably not going to want to be around you a lot.
Circling back to the would you know scenario, I think the question is, what would I do, I think, if I witnessed this? Because listener's point, you would embrace this. This, I think, would make sense to you.
I wish you would witness this. I wish you would have this kind of experience, because if you are willing to go there in any way and you're willing to have, like, just if you're willing to even entertain the thought that it's possible, I do believe that you will get more signs. And I know, like, people, I'm sure there's a million ways you can frame this as me being crazy, but I do think that there is more to this world than just us sitting here like as lumps of flesh.
Well,
I think there is more meaning, and I choose to believe there is.
That's fine. And I completely respect your view of the world. That hasn't always been easy for me, but I think I've found a place where I understand that that's how you're able to be happy and function, and that makes sense to you, and that's fine. I am weirdly content and happy with the idea that none of it matters.
But I don't really believe that's your like operation. Like,
I marvel at the machine that is man, and the you know that our brains are these endless association machines, and we are constantly looking for connections and patterns between things, because that's how we function. And that's like part of teaching and doing improv, is I love this tool, and that you can use the just like association machine to create these worlds and imaginations, and I love them and I revel in them in storytelling.
Well, but all I'm trying to get at is that I think like what you're describing is your obsession with like understanding man and the science behind man. Like, I'm just saying oftentimes the spiritual explanation for things is like a step ahead of the game in terms of like identifying things that exist in the world in terms of like ways that we're able to communicate with each other without using language and the information that we're constantly gathering about our surroundings. Like I think we are perceiving and getting more than our current scientific understanding would tell you.
Well, I think there is, I mean, whatever you want to call it, I've tried to live in that place and it doesn't bring
me
joy.
Okay, so go tell us about the horror story that would come around if our daughter told you this.
It's hard to put myself in this hypothetical.
Here's the thing for me, like, let's say this actually really happened.
Uh-huh.
My knowledge of it, because I'm slightly obsessed with this concept of psychics and mediums, like, I would validate my kids' experience. I would sort of try to teach them ways to cope with that ability. I imagine if they continued to tell you these things, you would get them like psychological help.
Well, don't accuse me of something I haven't
done. I'm just trying to follow your train of logic. I'm really just asking you. Like,
okay, without the actual specifics, I'm like, what is it that they have told me that I would conclude there's literally no way they could know this without having spoken to a dead person?
Tell me
what those details are.
So it's really funny your level of skepticism, because in every other hypothetical we have where our kids like transform into like a giant walking baby, like a 30-foot tall, you are completely on board with the construct, but because
Here's the thing. This is absolutely the thing, because I love to engage in like the hypothetical, the fanciful, the fantasy of it. But the second that I know that we're treating it as if this is true, I hate it, and I can't have fun with it, because and I think it is a defensive thing where I'm like, well, if your thing is true, well then I must be wrong, and now I'm defensive. I'm admittedly very emotional right now, and I'm trying not to speak emotionally, and I'd rather unpack what that feeling is than try to like have a
fight
with you about
the details.
Well,
that's what I think is so interesting about it, is that you do get very emotional about it. And
you do too, though, when I'm doing this.
No, but I admittedly have skin in the game. You are the one that claims that you choose to believe that you just don't know. But then yet when we debate this, you very passionately do have skin in the game. Well,
I am very skeptical of people who have who, like yourself, claim to have really strong answers to these big questions.
I don't claim to have strong answers to like all the big questions.
More than I do, it feels like.
Yeah, because I like to give my life meaning.
That's where the core of this is. Right? I mean, right? We need to give ourselves meaning. And weirdly, I do it through
you are very happy with giving your life meaning that you get from certain sources, and you're uncomfortable. And this is really something I truly believe about, like, all this astrology psychic stuff gets really like laughed at, is again because it's like more strongly associated with women and feminine things. And so everyone
sorry, go ahead.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just interrupt me to just say, like that's exactly the attitude. That's just like, okay, ladies. Like,
I can't argue. Like, there's no argument I have against that argument. And that's why I want to throw my hands up to be like, well, I literally can't say anything against that. As is often happens with this conversation, it gets very emotional and I feel very defensive. And then I keep forgetting what the last moment was. And then I feel I want to lash out, and I'm just trying to avoid all of that. And I want to respect what you love and you believe, but I also feel very attacked about what I believe and you dismissing
my beliefs. I completely understand why you believe what you believe. What I'm saying is that your approach to what I believe is incredibly dismissive.
Well, you're the one that's saying that I believe what I believe because of the patriarchy and because I'm brainwashed by Western society.
Well, you just admitted in an earlier segment that you understand now how you have core beliefs that are a function of the society you live in.
Sure, but my point is you're dismissing my beliefs by saying that.
I'm dismissing your inability to acknowledge my beliefs. I'm not mad that you believe in science. I completely believe in science.
Okay.
I question certain studies and certain information, but the idea of science I'm not against.
Okay. But you can understand how I might get defensive. It feels like you're trying to say science doesn't know stuff, therefore you don't know stuff, therefore I know you don't know. I know you're not saying that, but that's how I feel.
But again, this is like your defensiveness. It's just, that's not like my point. Like, it's like...
I think... So shockingly, if you're listening to this argument or this debate for the first time, this is going better than it has in the past. And there's a certain level of acceptance I think we both have about each other that is evolving. And when you talk about this stuff, when you talk about discoveries you have made in this world, I have to actively shut off the part of me that's like, well, here's why this is all bullshit, and actually look to the content of your self-examination and like the things that matter to you. And that's what I focus on because that's what matters to you and that's how I can support you.
Well, that's the thing is when I'm talking about this stuff, a lot of it is just me self-analyzing how I can like go through my day in a more productive way and interact with people more productive. Like this whole like belief system I have is like about me growing and like learning as a person. It's not like I'm not trying to like hurt other people or like force them to believe this. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't like that's the thing I'm saying. Like, again, to harken back to the earlier segment of like we have we vilify certain things in this country, like, you know, socialism is currently under a lot of attack right now. And it's like, if you look at the core beliefs of what the people who believe in that are trying to accomplish, it's like, they really are just trying to give people like better healthcare and schools. And like, you can criticize parts of it. I think it's perfectly rational to like take issue with aspects of what people are proposing and how they plan to do it. But if you just throw a whole belief system under the bus because you're just like, oh, socialism's for losers. Like, this is bad. Like, whatever your general...
That's my reaction. Socialism for losers.
No, but, like, there is just this idea that socialism, again, it's given this, like, effeminate, like, quality of being... Like, it's really, like, considered weak. And you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things in this country that, like, if you're trying to do a good thing, they find a way of characterizing you as like a crazy outsider. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, just because we're running out of time and this is like a whole other hour topic, I'm going to go back to this hypothetical. What would I do? I would go to Beth and I would apologize for years of judgment on her belief system. And I would say, we don't know everything. And then I would get, you know what would be really annoying, Beth? Is that I'd get really into it. And then I would start doing all this research about psychics and mediums. And then I would start mansplaining to you things I've learned about it in the recent time. And then I'd be really upset that you're upset that I'm explaining it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then
this
I'd
feels
learn
very
from that.
Real.
Yeah. I don't think this will ever happen. But if it does, this is what's ahead because I'm me and I can't change that.
Yeah. I mean, the good news for you is that the patriarchy is also woven into New Age spirituality culture. So you can surely find people there to parrot their doctrine
Me, Mr. Patriarchy. Oh boy. And this has been We Knows Parenting. Find us online, weknowsparenting.com, where you can write in to, I am sure people are going to have opinions.
Please tell the stories of your kids saying creepy things. That's my favorite kind of story.
And you know what? Don't, if you want to write in and defend capitalism or socialism, you can do that. We're probably not going to get into it. But feel free.
Okay. So find We Knows Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at We Knows Pod.
Or write in at weknowspod@gmail.com. Oh my God. Have a good day, please.
Bye.
Bye.